All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Rayleigh and Brittany. And I always enjoy Christmas time, just the atmosphere, the music, things like that. I love this time of year. Fall is my favorite time of year. Summer is my least favorite time of year. And so I enjoy the music. Thank you for the preparation. I want to thank Brother Combs for stepping in today and handling the music while Dr. Reed is out and hosting a King James seminar over at Woodland Hills Baptist Church in Tyler. He'll be there tonight, and then he'll be there one more service on Wednesday night, and then he'll have a little break, and then he'll have another meeting in January, and I think there may be another one in February that's going on. But I understand, Brother Combs, what it's like to put on several hats and wear several hats, and I can appreciate that. And sometimes you gotta work on keeping focused on what you're doing, because you're thinking, okay, I'm leading music, but man, I got all these other things I've got to do. I've got school tomorrow, and on and on and on. And I want to say a word of thanks to him for stepping in and handling the music. You know, God sure has been good today. We've seen people saved. We've seen people baptized. And folks, listen, I think that if we're not careful, we'll take for granted a lot of things, and people get saved, and we don't get excited about it anymore. We don't get excited about seeing someone plucked out of the little jaws of death and plucked out of the jaws of hell and born into the family of God. Listen, many of you daddies here, now some of you didn't go into the birthing room, but you know, that was that's kind of a new thing in the last, I guess, 25 years or so. But those of you that have been into the birthing room and you've seen that little baby born and stuff, I'm telling you, a miracle. It's a miracle. And boy, you get so excited, and the doctor hands you that little baby, and boy, you're there cuddling that because that's part of you. And yet we get so excited over that. But can I tell you something even greater than the natural birth? Is the new birth. We ought to get excited about people getting saved and being born into the family of God. Listen, when people come and get saved, church, they should never leave this church without a great number of people coming by and shaking their hand and telling how happy that they are that they've been born into the family of God. You know what? We ought to go and shake their hand and say, welcome to the family. Because that's what it is, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to be excited about what God is doing, not just at church, but in our lives. And you know, I think that sometimes at home, folks, we ought to have just a little praise service on our family, and just have each one of our families stand and or sit around the supper table and just say, listen, I want you to tell the family tonight, what has God done for you today? What a blessing has God bestowed upon you today, and make it a testimony time. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we give God very little praise about some of the things because we just take it all for granted, and we don't want to ever get into that place. So just a little charge tonight to help us not to be able to get on board with some things and about the praise and thanksgiving for what God has done. And boy, I'm telling you, He certainly is good. This morning, for those of you that might have been out and working in different ministries and stuff, I preached out of the book of Hosea. I want to ask that you turn back there again this morning. Not the same message or anywhere even close to the same message. I challenged you to meditate, and if you had an opportunity to go read the first three chapters of Hosea, that's where we're going to spend our time. Not going to read all three chapters. We are going to read a portion out of all three chapters. I want to preach to you tonight, church, about the ministry of tough love. The ministry of tough love. Now, while you're turning to the book of Hosea, I want to say something and preface what I'm going to preach on tonight by saying this. Don't come to me after the service and ask me to explain why God did all this. I don't have an answer for you. If you know anything about the book of Hosea, you'll understand once I get through reading here, you'll scratch your head like so many of others have scratched their head and say, I don't understand, God, why? You know, there's a lot of things I don't understand why God does it. But you know what? There's a reason. And I'm just going to leave it all up to the Lord, let Him figure out all the pieces. I'm just going to trust Him that He knows what He's doing. And so when we read tonight in these passages of Scripture, for those of you that may not be familiar with your Bible enough to maybe have made it, and hopefully now if you've been reading through the Bible with us, and this year that you have already come to that place and you've read through Hosea. But I want you to stand with me, if you would, please. Hosea chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. We're going to read some verses out of there, beginning in Hosea chapter 1 and verse number 2. Now, again, Hosea was a contemporary with Isaiah. Now, what you got to understand here, church, is that at this point in Israel's history, they were probably at one of the lowest ebbs spiritually that they were in their entire history. I mean, they were way down toward the dregs in the bottom of the barrel as far as their walk with God and their spirituality. God used a prophet by the name of Hosea, a preacher, to preach the truth to these people. But what God led Hosea to do was remarkable. And I want you to look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 2, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Now before we read on, let me just say this to you. I'm sure that there are probably a lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am that would probably disagree with what I'm about to tell you. But keep in mind that when Hosea penned these words, he wasn't writing this in chronological order as it was happening. He wrote this as he looked back and to what God had done through all of this. I'm not so sure I believe that Hosea even knew what the heart of Gomer was when he married her. But you know what? After hindsight's 20/20, he looked back, he did understand. And all of the things that God did by allowing him to marry this woman, he understood as he looked back and saw what God was doing. But he told him, he said, "Listen, this is the person I want you to marry." So he took this woman by the name of Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bare him three sons, or a son, and we know later that she bore him three children, I should say. Each one of them, the interesting thing when you study this, each one of them had kind of an unusual name. One of the names you'll recognize, it was Jezreel. And as they named the children, and you go and study what the meaning of the names of their kids were, basically as each child was born, it depicted the condition that Israel was in as they progressed through this. Now look, if you would, in chapter number 2 and verse number 5. Hosea now has married this woman by the name of Gomer, who has played the role of a harlot, of an adulteress. And in verse 5, he continues and says, "For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them, she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." She said, "I'm going to go follow after those people that will give me what I want. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up, God says, thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know, Hosea said, that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." Now listen, you got to understand, this woman had gone so far the other way that we understand who Baal is. Baal is nothing more than a picture of the devil. She had gone so far out of the way now that she was now hanging around with people that were literally devil worshipers in her life. And Hosea said, you know, this whole time that she was away, this whole time that she was being unfaithful, there were some supplies coming, and she didn't even know that it was me that was supplying those needs for her. Now, turn, if you would, to chapter 3 and verse 1. Then said the Lord unto me, God says to Hosea, I want you to notice what he says. He says, go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. And listen how he told her to how he told Hosea to love her, according to the love of the Lord, toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. Hosea said, so I bought her. You understand how far down she's gone now? She's literally become a slave to sin, a slave to a master. And so Hosea says, I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. Listen to this. So will I also be for thee. Have you ever had people in life that have been there in your lowest ebb? A time where you thought that you were on rock bottom and somebody was there for you? You see, what I'm saying tonight, what we're going to learn tonight is this story is so mind-boggling to me. But let me tell you something. Here's a man that had to understand how to minister tough love. He had to understand how to minister tough love, and God put him in a situation to where he could learn some things. And I want to speak to you on that subject using these verses, the ministry of tough love. Now, Father, we certainly give you glory and praise for what you've done in our lives. We pray now that as we open the precious, the holy word of God, that, Lord, that you would speak to us from this truth tonight, and that you'd bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'll just be honest to you, church, in my opinion, one of the most difficult stories in Scripture to understand and embrace is the story of Hosea and his adulterous wife, Gomer. This is a story to me of incredible love and incredible patience. Do you know if this story played out today in the lives of most people, they would have already kicked this woman to the curb. They would have already thrown her under the bus 100 times. They would have already written her off and said, you know what, you're out of my life once and for all. I don't want to ever see you again. And yet here's an incredible display of love and patience that God is trying to show us here. You see, this incredible story that is engulfed with toughness by one individual as he ministers to the one he loves. Have you ever had a loved one break your heart? Have you ever had someone I'm talking about that you loved dearly that just did something that just crushed you on the inside? Maybe it was so to the point to where it embarrassed you at some point. And you were so hurt deeply by it. But you know something that never waned? You never stopped loving that individual regardless of how bad they hurt you. And yet here's a man that's going through some incredible thing and showed some incredible toughness as he ministers to his wife who had become a harlot, who had become an adulteress. Hosea marries this woman by the name of Gomer, and she bears him children according to the Scriptures, 3 children. Now you would think that if you looked at, here's Hosea, a prophet of God, he marries a woman, they have 3 kids, and if you just read the story and took out all the negative, you think, boy, they must be happily married. They must have a joy that exceeds all the things that I could possibly understand and how they've come to a love for each other. But I think a close examination of this story reveals that Gomer was a harlot and had given herself to many lovers in the world. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Those of you that are married here tonight, I can't think of anything else that would be more crushing to a husband-wife relationship than unfaithfulness of a spouse. Now, I hope you understand, I'm not trying to be unkind tonight, but some of you in here understand what I'm talking about. The hurt and the pain that you feel. This man felt this pain. He understood. Listen to me now. It wasn't that he didn't know what she was doing. He knew what she was doing. The pain that he felt. You see, Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea. Gomer was unconcerned about the effects that it had on her kids. You think she was thinking about her kids when she was going from man to man to man? She wasn't thinking about her children. You know, most adulterers and adulteresses don't think about their family. They don't think about their children. They think about themselves. That's all she was concerned about, was for the next high. That's all she wanted. And so she went from lover to lover to lover. Hosea understood this and knew this. Yet she was unconcerned about the effects it would have on her kids. She had no remorse for her lifestyle. She was totally consumed with the lusts of her flesh. Listen, she began to take advantage of whatever and whoever she could. You say, preacher, this was a bad, bad person. This person was totally given over to the lust of the flesh, and you would be right. You say, this person is totally given over without any concern for the well-being of other people and how other people feel and how they get hurt over things like this. And you would be right. The bottom line is, she was unfaithful. And her unfaithfulness was a dagger in Hosea's heart. You see, if anybody deserved to be kicked to the curb, if anybody deserved to be abandoned, it was Gomer. But may I say to you tonight, she was married to an incredible man. A man that had made a commitment to God. Listen to me now, a man that had a word from God. And that word from God was, this is the person to marry. You stick with her through thick and thin. Listen, folks. Hosea was dedicated in following the Lord. He had a word from God. He trusted the Lord completely. He was obedient in heart and spirit. He did exactly what God told him to do. He was devoted to his vows before God. How many times in life have you made a decision and you've done something in life that you were just absolutely, no question about it, you knew it was God's will. And then a little ways into it, it's like, man, somebody punched a hole in the bottom of the boat. And all of a sudden the boat felt like it was about to sink, and you know what you begin to do? You begin to do the same thing I've done. You begin to question, well, maybe it wasn't the will of God. Maybe this wasn't the will of God because the boat's going down. Well, can I say, just because you got a hole in the boat doesn't mean it wasn't the will of God for your life? Can I say this to you? God arranged all of this. Would everybody help me out? Did God understand what Gomer was going to become? Yes, he did. Did he understand what she was going to do to this man? The hurt that he was going to feel? The damage that it was going to do to her kids? Come on now, did she? Yeah, he knew. But yet he allowed all of this. Why? Because it was the will of God for Hosea. God was going to teach him an incredible, incredible lesson and use him in an incredible way. And may I say to you tonight, church, that the application of this story is simply this. Hosea was a prophet of God, chosen to be the voice of God to a people that he loved. And as a husband, he loved his wife. He loved the people of God, but more than anything, he loved God above all things. So that Hosea's message, God allowed him to go through this so that Hosea's message might be one of sincerity. And so God allowed him to go through this incredible life experience, the pain, the hurt of it all, being married to an unfaithful spouse, so that God's message might be delivered with compassion and tears. You see, the message that Hosea would eventually have is that Hosea would be one as a representative of God. Gomer would represent Israel. And when you read through the book of Hosea, you understand the principle. You understand the teaching here. God loved his people, but his people had gone a-whoring after lovers and after idols. So much that even in Gomer's case, she was hanging out with people that were worshiping Baal. Devil worship. Well, I want you to think about some things for a moment. Hosea was in a dark time in life. But I want you to think about some things, church, if I could tonight. Hosea was told to love an unfaithful spouse. You say, preacher, this is insanity. Where is this story? It's in the Bible. You say, this is crazy. What's going on here? When you get to heaven, you can try to cipher it all out. But God commanded him. He said, listen, you love this unfaithful woman. You love this adulterous woman. You love this woman who's playing the role of a harlot. So he was told to love an unfaithful spouse. Hosea was told to not give up on his unfaithful spouse. Now we're going to learn here in just a minute, folks. Listen, this is incredible. While she was going about doing all this, things were coming to her, food, clothing, and stuff. You know who was providing that for her? Her husband. While she was going from man to man to man, he was providing for her. You say, this guy must be out of his mind. No, he was a man of God. He obeyed God. He was faithful and was doing exactly what God told him to do. You see, Hosea was left to care for his kids alone, as far as I can tell. Don't have any scripture that tells me that Gomer was going out playing the harlot and coming home and taking care of the kids and fixing supper and making sure they were cared for and their homework was done. You know what? I doubt very seriously she did any of that. You know what she was concerned about? Herself. Her pleasures in life. That's what she was concerned about. And Hosea was left to care for the kids all alone. Hosea had to live with the fact that his wife was committing adultery with other men in town that he probably knew. Did you notice a while ago? Look in chapter 3. Did you notice this? He says, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend. The thing about it is, she was probably going from door to door with people that Hosea knew. Maybe that he even worked with or shopped with. He knew she was bouncing around from person to person. But listen to me. Hosea's reputation took a severe hit. It took a severe hit. Now I want to say something quickly and stop right here. This for most of us is where tough love stops. Because when someone tries to take a hit at our testimony or try to take a hit at our reputation, that's when we fight back. We don't think about love, we think about blood. That's what we think about. We think about, you know what? You're attacking me. You're making a personal attack on my person. And yet here was this woman bouncing from man to man to man in her husband's face. In town, you think, man, this is crazy, preacher. It is. But here's a man whose reputation took a severe hit. He was, listen, folks, he was the voice of God to the people. You say, what would that be like, preacher? That would be like a pastor's wife bouncing around inside the congregation, committing adultery with many people in the congregation, and the preacher knew it. You say, oh my goodness, that's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, it's awful. What I'm telling you tonight is here's a man that was about to minister some tough, tough love in tough situations where most of us would tuck tail and run. This man stood his ground. You know why? Because he had a word from God. He knew this was what he was supposed to do. He knew this was God's direction for his life. I'm sure that there were a lot of people who didn't understand him. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that may have laughed at him and mocked him and said, you know what, you're an idiot. Can't believe that you're sticking by her. Take her out on the street. May I remind you, before a person takes that attitude, that was still the mother of his children. That was still a woman that he had vowed to and loved very deeply. So before we start saying, you know what, you ought to kick him out on the street, keep in mind that there's a God in heaven that could have kicked you out on the street. May I remind you that there were probably people that laughed at him, probably people that may have tried to counsel him to leave her and let her go and never have anything to do with her again. You see, Hosea had a word from God that he could not deny. And that was that God told him to marry this woman and that God already knew what she would do. Let me stop and give you a few illustrations here. Do you know what? Hosea wasn't the first one that had to minister tough love. Can I rewind back now to the last few chapters of the book of Genesis to a man by the name of Joseph? Remember his brothers, as far as they were concerned, years before that, 13 years before that, tried literally to kill him. And they had pretty much kicked him off and sold him as a piece of trash. And yet, a famine comes in the land, and guess who shows up at Joseph's doorstep? The same guys that wanted him dead. You know what Joseph, Brother Garner, had to display and minister? Some tough love. Do you know what was in the power of his hands to squash those guys? He could have stomped them out of existence. He could have had them killed. But you know what? He didn't. You say, well, I wonder why. Because the bottom line was Joseph realized what the plan of God was. And here was his statement. His statement was, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God sent me here and caused all this to come to pass. And here's what the language that he used, to sustain life. He says, you know what, if I hadn't gone through all the things that I went through and you hadn't sold me into Egypt, you'd probably be dead men right now. He had to administer some tough love to people that literally wanted him dead, his brothers. May I remind you also as we spin a little bit further that Job had to also minister some tough love. How would you like to be sitting one day and in a situation brokenhearted and your own wife say, curse God and die? How would you like to have some friends that came and did nothing but 7 days but stare at you? And then when they did open their mouth, begin to paint a picture of you that was not true. Begin to paint a portrait of you that was not anywhere near. They had no facts. They didn't know what was going on. And yet Job had to minister some tough love, not just to family, but friends. May I spin a little bit further in the New Testament and take you now to a father who hears a knock at his door and he says, come in, and it's his youngest son. His youngest son comes in and says, Dad, I've come to the conclusion I'm old enough now. I think I'm going to go ahead and try to make it on my own. I want everything you've got coming to me. Here's a daddy that's cared for him, that's loved him, that's provided for him, that's taken him out on the outings, gone to his ball games, all the things that he did for him in life, and now he's coming and says, give me everything. Give me my inheritance. And his daddy gives it to him. And the Bible said he went off and he spent it on riotous living. How do you think that daddy felt when he saw that boy walk down the road, turn his back on everything that had ever been taught in his life, and went out into the world and spent all of his inheritance? Now listen, his daddy didn't know what he was doing in the far country, but he had some idea, right? Can I say something? I want you to look right up here. Do you understand Hosea knew everything that was going on? He knew what she was doing. The town was talking about it. People are probably saying, Hosea, have you lost your mind? Get rid of her. Get out of here. She's a harlot. She's an adulteress. You know, we know that the father of the prodigal son didn't give up on his boy. You think he was just out there on the front porch looking down the road by accident? No. See, he didn't know what his boy was doing. And with his riotous living, he didn't know that his boy was in the pig pen, but you listen to me, God knew where he was. God knew he was in the pig pen. God knew he was spending all that he had. And guess what? When he came to himself, you know what he realized? Hey, I'm going to be better off back at my father's house. Can I say to you, when Gomer began to see things collapse all around her, did you notice what she said? I'll go back to my first husband because I'm better off then than I am now. But you know what it took? Somebody had to be there waiting for him. Somebody had to take on the ministry of tough love so when they came back, they would embrace them. And that daddy was waiting for that prodigal son. And when he came, he hugged him and kissed him and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a coat on him, had the fatted calf killed. You know what that's called? It's called tough love. Because you know what most people would have done when they'd have seen that boy come back? Get out of my house. Get out of my face. You treated me like scum. I don't want to ever see you again. Now, some people would treat that boy like that, just like somebody would treat Gomer like that. But you know, Joseph had to experience tough love. Job had to experience the ministry of tough love. The father had to experience the ministry of tough love. I want to say to you tonight, church, if you haven't already, you will likewise be confronted with the ministry of tough love at some point in your life. Some of you are going to have to make hard decisions in life, just like Hosea did. I'm going to give you a few things to think about here tonight. First of all, tough love helps us know the heart of God. Tough love helps us to know the heart of God. Folks, can I remind you, what do you think the father felt like when he looked and he saw his only begotten son being mistreated and beaten and his beard jerked out of his face? And a crown of thorns put upon his head. And here's God sitting on the throne at the apex of all creation and looking and seeing what us, lowly people, were doing to the Son of God. And yet there, as God saw all of this coming, you understand that just one word he could have spoken and the whole world would have been consumed. But you know what God did, Brother Shaddix? He ministered some tough love. To love you and I after what we did to Jesus? Are you serious? That he would still love me and still want to save me and still want to love me and care for me and provide a place for me to be with him forever? You know what that is, dear church? That's tough love is what that is. That he would love you and I after what we did to the Son of God. You see, tough love helps us to know the heart of God. May I say to you, church, and you need to listen carefully, God interprets himself many times through our own experiences. He allows us to go through experiences in life so that we might know him better, so that we might know to a degree how he felt about his only begotten Son. You see, Hosea was going through this experience with this adulterous woman, knowing what she was doing, feeling the pain, feeling the hurt, feeling the shame, so that he might have a little power behind the message. Because you know what he was doing? He was telling the people of God, you know what? This is exactly what you're doing to the Father. This is exactly what you're doing to your God. May I say to you, church, tonight that tough loves helps you understand hurt and how to balance it with the love of God. When someone hurts you, that tough love helps balance that hurt with the love of God. Because if it's out of balance and you get hurt, you know what you're going to do? That's what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to take somebody out of this life. It's kind of like the mama I heard one time. Kid was acting up. Kid was causing all kinds of problems. Talking back to mama. And she looked at that kid. She said, I want you to listen to me and I'm going to tell you one thing here. She said, I brought you into this world and bless God, I can take you out of it. You know, there's a little truth to that. And if anybody had the right to do, well, mama would, right? But what tough love does, church, is it helps us know the heart of God. It helps us to understand hurt and how to balance it with the love of God. It helps us to understand the importance of forgiveness. Remember in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32, not only are we to be tenderhearted and loving one another, but forgiving one another for Christ's sake. Just as God the Father hath forgiven you. You see, we got to understand that tough love helps us to know the heart of God. It helps us to accept the truth about how God feels about us. I can't imagine how God the Father felt as His only begotten Son was persecuted, crucified, mistreated. But can I tell you something? Even after all that we did to Jesus, thank God there's a Father in heaven that ministered some tough love to you and I. He didn't have to love us, and the only reason we love Him, the Scripture says, is because He first loved us. You see, tough love helps us to know the heart of God. I want to say, secondly, tough love helps us know the healing of God. If you've never had to go through a healing process before, after a deep wound, maybe to the spirit, if you've never had to go through that before, let me say something to you, my friend. Your day and your hour will come. Your hour of darkness will come. Your hour of hurt will come. But because of that tough love, let me say you something. God will help you understand the healing of God. He'll heal you by helping you know that, you know what? You are standing on truth. You know what Hosea could do? Hosea could love Gomer because he knew he was standing on truth. Because he had a word from God. He had a word from God that what was going on here, there was a plan and significance to it. You see, that healing that we go through, that tough love that helps us to know the healing of God will help you to understand, you know, you're standing on truth. That healing by accepting that God is in control. You know, there's nothing more that causes us to be more anxious than to know that a circumstance and situations are happening and you can't do a thing about it. And it just drives you crazy, doesn't it? You want to pull your hair out? You want to go scream, run through the woods screaming to the top of your lungs? But can I say to you folks, there's going to be times in life, the situation's going to come, you can't control it. Can I say to you tonight, what was Hosea going to do? He couldn't even control this. His wife left, became a... What was he going to do? Go catch her and put her in a cage? He couldn't stop it. It was out of his control. And yet, there was a healing that came because of accepting that God was in control. A healing by acknowledging that he couldn't change a thing. And can I say this, folks? You're not going to change anybody. You're not. These young people that say, well, you know what? I'm going to marry this old boy. I'm going to change him. Well, if you do, you let all the other millions of people that tried that never succeeded, what you did. It never has worked, listen to me, and it never will work. That's the reason you must marry in the will of God. You must make sure that the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life is the one that God has directed you to. Can you imagine God directing him to a woman by the name of Gomer? He marries her, and the next thing you know, she bears him 3 kids. But the next thing you know, man, she's chasing after lovers around town. You see, we waste so much time, church. So much of God's time by trying to change things, circumstances, and people that we have no control over. Did you notice the story about Hosea? Did you notice in the story that you don't find him out in the streets looking for? You don't find him going around asking people, where is she tonight? What is she doing? You see what he did? He understood the fact that, you know what, I can't change things, can't change the circumstances, and I certainly have no control over her. I can't change it. You see, tough love helps us know the heart of God. It helps us know the healing of God. May I say next, it helps us to know the hand of God. And may I say to you, church, tonight, the hand of God sometimes is hard. The hand of God sometimes is hard. And some of us tonight, it's going to be difficult when the hand of God comes and touches your life to swallow the facts and to swallow the truth and to realize that God is somehow, some way working in our lives. You see, sometimes the hand of God is hard. Sometimes the hand of God is hurtful. There's going to be some hurts that are going to be involved with it. How do you think this man felt? How do you think he felt as he went about his business and he had another one saying, hey, listen, did you know? I don't want to hear it. Did you know? I don't want to hear it. Yeah, it was hard. There was some hurt, but I want you to listen to me tonight, church. I said the hand of God sometimes is hard, sometimes it's hurtful, but you listen to me, the hand of God is always helpful. Always. God is always up to something. And He's always up to something working out good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Stop, let me ask you this. Was Hosea called according to His purpose? Then something's good's fixing to come out of this. There's got to be something wonderful that's about to show itself. Now, I'm not advocating this, but I'm going to tell you something I did a long time ago. One of my kids, when they were small in the nursery, and maybe some of you have had this happen as well, but one of my kids was a biter. You ever had a biter? One of my kids was a biter, and it just seemed like every time that my wife went to pick our child up out of the nursery, it was always, well, they bit somebody else. They just bit. And I thought, you know, this has got to stop. God, show me what I need to do to stop this. My child's biting everybody in the nursery. They're inflicting pain on people. I didn't know what to do. So I got home one night. And I took that child in privately. I thought, Lord, how am I going to handle this? I don't know why I did this. But I said, do you understand what you're doing? You're hurting people. Biting hurts. I said, have you ever been bitten? And at that time, I took my child's arm and I bit it. I'm talking about teeth mark biting. You said, did they cry, preacher? Yeah, they cried. But can I tell you something? They never bit again. Never did. You say, preacher, I can't believe you did that. Well, I told you I'm not advocating it. I'm just telling you, I don't know why I did it. I did it, but it worked. You see, what I'm saying is, church, that the hand of God sometimes is hard, sometimes is hurtful, but you listen to me, it's always helpful. Always helpful. Now, let's wind this up. Let me give you a couple of things here to think about. If you want to jot them down, you can jot them down, meditate on them later. I want to give you Hosea's path to tough love. How did he do this? How is it possible that this man was able to do this? Well, first of all, I want to say when we look at the scriptures and the reading tonight, I want to say, first of all, he did not compromise his testimony to save hers. You hear me? He did not compromise his testimony to go save her testimony. He stood by the truth. He did not depart from truth. And by the way, I don't find anywhere in Scripture, folks, where he ever made her any promises. He didn't say, well, you know what? I promise to do this. I promise to do that. No, he didn't. You know what he did? He stuck by the truth. He didn't compromise his testimony to save her testimony. And I want to say to you tonight, mamas and daddies, sometimes you're going to have to let the kids go through a process, and you're going to have to let God take their arm and bite them on the arm. You hear me? Without you getting all bent out of shape, without you throwing a fit, you're going to have to let God take them privately and say, you know what, have you ever been bitten? And take them and bite them on the arm. Now, folks, what I'm saying to you tonight is, mamas and daddies, you don't compromise your testimony to save the testimony of your children. You say, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. Listen, I'll do anything to save my kid's life. But you know what? If they go to the left and the way to the right, I'm going to the right. That's the reason the Scripture says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from it. You know what your job is, mom and daddy? Your job is to train them in the way they should go. Now, I want to help every mom and daddy. I want you to listen to me. If you did your job, don't you live in guilt the rest of your life. You're looking at a person right here, I ain't got a guilty bone in my body, except guilty of sin, obviously. But what I'm saying to you tonight, you know what? If you do your job and you did it according to the Scriptures, don't compromise your testimony to save the testimony of your children. Amen? Because you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself going down with the ship. Number two, Hosea was willing to allow God to have his way with her as long as he needed to. Would you look at Hosea chapter 2 for quickly? Turn back there if you would. Hosea 2 verse 6. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall, listen to this, God says, and she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but she shall not find them. Then shall she say. You know what brought her to this point right here? Because there was a God in heaven, that a husband that was willing to allow the God in heaven to have his way with her as long as he needed to. And let me tell you something, mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, family and friends, you have people that you love that you know what? You're going to have let God have their way with them. You're going to have to let God have his way with them. Listen now, as long as he needs to. You say, but preacher, it's been years. What's time with God? Let God have his way. Let God have his way. Hosea was willing to stand back and allow God to have his way with his wife, Gomer, as long as he needed to. And God says, you know what? I put a hedge of thorns up. Let her go. She's not going to find her way. She may go to her lovers, but you know what? She's not going to overtake them. She may seek them, but she's not going to find them. You know why? God had made her so miserable. She was so miserable in what she was doing, she had now ended up at the lowest ebb of life. But I'm going to tell you something else incredible that he did. Not only did he not compromise his testimony to save hers, not only was he willing to allow God to have his way as long as he needed, look at this now, number three. Hosea interceded daily for her. Look, if you would, in chapter 2, verse 8. He said, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. You know what he did for her? He interceded for her. Now, I'm not saying that you know that you go finance sin or you go finance a family member or a friend and let them live in sin off of you. You're not to be a partaker of another man's sin. That's not what he did here. You know what he did? He was exemplifying some tough love, my friend, because she was at the lowest ebb of life and he interceded daily for her. You know what we need to do when we have a loved one or someone that we care about? You know how you can administer some tough love? How about interceding for them daily in prayer? How about interceding for them on their behalf? Because obviously if they're out doing all the things that they're doing, they're not thinking about themselves. You say, preacher, how can I intercede? How about praying that God don't end up bringing them to a place to where their life is snuffed out. Because he can do that just like that. Pray that they don't step across one of God's deadlines and step across the line. Hosea interceded for her. He began to care for her and feed her and clothe her and provide finances for her. Sometimes she'd be in a home and with her live-in boyfriend and get a letter through the mail, an anonymous letter, and open it up, have some money in it. She's wondering, I wonder who this came from. I'll tell you who it came from. She didn't know it, but it came from her husband because he loved her. Here's the fourth thing I see. He was there when the time was right to buy her back. He was there when she was at the lowest ebb of life. You say, how low was she, preacher? So low that she had literally become a slave to her master. And we find in Scripture that Hosea went in verse 2 of chapter 3 and bought her back for 15 pieces of silver. And then in the end of verse 3, he said, so will I also be for thee. You see, when you have that loved one or that friend that you've had to administer some tough love, you listen to me, don't you drop the ball. You be there when it's time to buy them back. You be there when it's time, when they hit the bottom and all they can do is look up and say, listen, does anybody care about me now? You be there for them to help them. The next thing is this. Not only was he there when it was time to buy her back, but after he bought her back, after he brought her back to home, back home, he provided counsel and security for her. Look at verse 3 in chapter 3. He said, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Here's the counsel. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. There's the counsel. You know where the security is? So will I also be for thee. He provided counsel and security for her. Now, church, as far as I can tell, after chapter 3, and you can read it and you find something different, you tell me. But I've read this book over and over and over. After he brought his wife back, after he restored her, after he had administered tough love to her, once she was bought back and brought back in, from chapter 4 on, he never mentions it again. He never mentions the relationship there with his wife again. And as far as I can tell, he never brought up the situation with his wife or her unfaithfulness again. Never mentions the heartache that he went through again. And here's the conclusion of the matter. I want to tell you tonight, church, that Jesus showed us some tough love. You see, he forgave your sins and my sins even through our stubbornness and our rebellion and our adulterous attitude. But can I say something? Jesus didn't compromise. He went to a cross because that was the plan. You see, when we hit the lowest ebb of our life, he was there to buy us back. He was there at the right time, at the right place. Now, you know what he does for us now? He provides counsel and security. And listen, never one time ever brings up my past. Not one time. You see, Hosea fell into the ministry of tough love just like some of you will. Some of you in your life situation understand where I'm coming from. You understand Hosea. You understand a little bit of what Joseph went through and Job went through and the father went through. Some of you don't. But you will. Don't resist it. Because God allowed Hosea to do this because he was the voice of God to the people. And he said, Hosea, I'm going to put you through this because we're going to put a little bit of umph behind the message. He says, because when you go out and preach to my people, I want you to preach with tears. When you go out and you preach the message, I want you to preach it with compassion. And you know what? He could because he understood what hurt was. He understood what it was to hurt deeply. But he also understood what it was for God to hurt deeply as well. And may I say to you tonight, folks, you have a God in heaven that loves and cares about you. He has forgiven you. He has saved you. He has never brought up your past one time. Not once. You know what that is? That's tough love. But you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to go out and minister the exact same thing. You say, preacher, this is hard stuff. Yeah, it is. But can I tell you what it is? It's Christianity. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I don't want to embarrass anybody tonight. Please, no one looking.